we thought that we would take a little bit of time and do something a little bit out of the ordinary, partially because episode 300 is coming up, and there are some changes that have been happening behind the scenes and even in front of the scenes, and I thought, and I think Camden thought, that it would be good to just touch base with the listeners in an audio format and maybe not do it as like a blog or something that you read, but just kind of have a conversation about, I guess, first, where Reform Forum has been and where it wants to go and some ideas that are kind of percolating, and hopefully also get input from you guys, the listeners, on what your preferences are, what you'd like to see, maybe shoot down some ideas, okay some ideas, and just give general input to what you would like to see from Reform Forum in general. So I thought, first of all, Camden, I want to hear, because I know that you've shared bits and pieces of this before, but basically, can you just refresh listeners' memory on how this got started at all? What was the genesis of Reform Forum? What were the intentions? What was the situation like timeline-wise? All those kinds of questions. Can you put us in the position of you starting out and just getting the idea of, let's sit around and talk and record some things about theology?
Yeah, well, we started Reform Forum back in 2008. I came to seminary at Westminster in 2007 in the fall. And the issue was when I was back in central Illinois, I was working in Peoria, Illinois, and I was becoming more and more Reformed and reading a lot of good theological content, but I didn't have many people to talk to. I didn't have a whole lot of Reformed churches around. And the opportunity to discuss things with, you know, friends that were like-minded. I had good believing friends, but I didn't have a whole lot of people that were interested in reading Van Til or, you know, the Reformed Protestants, that kind of thing. So I got to know Jeff Waddington through a website called Sola Gratia, a website I was managing. And we came to meet each other through, I won't explain, but anyway, we became kind of digital friends, and then we started talking on the phone, and when I ended up coming to seminary, I'd connect with Jeff, and we'd get together and talk along with another, with some other friends, one of whom was Jim Cassidy, and we thought, now that I was having all these great conversations online, in person, we thought it'd be nice to share them online, and podcasting had, you know, begun really in kind of 2005, and I had listened to a lot of tech podcasts. I was really interested in that. I mean, I had some background in recording, you know, and I could play around with the websites and technology. That's kind of what I used to do in my job. And so I thought it'd be nice to meld those two together and provide, you know, an avenue for people to be able to listen to Reformed conversation, even if they were in areas that didn't have a whole lot of Reformed influence or other people to talk to. So that's kind of the genesis of Reform Forum and how we ended up putting stuff online. And it's since turned into a nonprofit organization and a real regular thing. And we've been able to talk to a whole lot of people and do some fun stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, just to paint a picture, this you mentioned podcasts really started in full force around like 2005. And, I mean, when you were doing this, what are, you mentioned some of the tech podcasts, but in terms of like theology podcasts or whatever, there wasn't a whole lot around at that point, was there? I mean, I'm trying to think back to that era too.
No, I don't know what I was doing. Yeah, I don't want to sound, you know, that we were the first ones or anything like that, but I honestly don't know of anything else that was out there. Some people were putting sermons online. That had been going on for quite some time, but in terms of a kind of a theological talk show type of thing or an interview, there might have been some programs out there that they talked about certain things, like Desiring God had some stuff going on. They were podcasting, but there wasn't anything exactly like we were doing. The White Horse Inn, I should give them full credit. But back then, I think they're on this website called One Place or something like that. It was really hard to find the feed. Mm-hmm. And to actually get the program downloaded to an iPod or something like that. And back right. then, I mean, even in 05 and before, people were podcasting, but there's kind of this pirate thing. It was before the iTunes directory even existed. And podcasting, you had to do this kind of backdoor thing. You had to be quite a techie to be able to do it. And it wasn't until the iTunes store started to list podcasts and iTunes software started to support it, that it became easier, even though to this day it's still not intuitive to people that, you know, are coming to it without much of a background.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't see what we did as being really original, but it was more or less kind of an opportunity and a combination of things that we put together to be able to do what we do at the depth that we do it, which is very unusual to put. You know, we go all the way from like today's episode with Amy Bird. We talk about being a housewife, mm-hmm. but then we go to talk to scholars about, you know, research into Trinitarian theology, which just would never fly on Christian radio. It's too hard. It's mm-hmm. too difficult and too niche-y. So, podcasting is this nice, medium where we're able to do things on the cheap, but do them well, I think, and be able to provide content and resources to people that are out there. If we had a terrestrial radio station, it just wouldn't be a big enough market to make it financially viable. So
yeah,
that's kind of why it works.
Yeah, right. And we're getting good comments from Joe in the chat about some of the other podcasts that were around at that point. But
yeah, Renewing Your Mind, he's mentioning. I know there are others. I don't mean to say that there weren't, but a lot of those started as radio programs that turned into podcasts. We started right out of the gate as a podcast, which allowed us to do things that we couldn't do on the radio.
Right.
It just it wouldn't be feasible financially.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you mentioned, you know, the depth of the show and some of the range that has happened, mostly because of the people that we have on, but also because of the topics. I think that's an important thing to clarify as far as... not a contrast, but a difference from some of the other podcasts and shows that are out there, in your intent to do something that has somewhat of a niche market. We're not trying at every point to just introduce people to Reformed theology, even though that does occur. There are often shows where it takes it a little bit beyond that point. And, you know, if you have graduated above, say, like the five points of Calvinism, sometimes those shows are right up your alley. But what went through your mind at that point, and I guess at this point as well, as far as what audience you'd like to hit and what they want to take away from it?
Yeah, I think Christ the Center has always been a program that's focused more on theologically educated folks or lay people that like to read and that want to move beyond some of the resources that are already out there. It's not to say those resources aren't good. They're excellent. But by nature of who they have to serve in order to continue to meet the demand and also, you know, address the bottom line of an organization that has a big infrastructure, you know, like Ligonier or, mm-hmm. or White Horse Inn, much smaller than Ligonier, but still you have a lot of people on the payroll and you have to do things that reach a broader market. I mean, of course, we're wanting to serve the church here. I don't want to give the impression that this is all about business, but I'm talking about organizations, and this is a state of the forum as an organization type conversation.
Right.
So, you know, we started right out of the gate trying to address a group of people that we thought were underserved. Now, a lot of them can serve themselves. For instance, they like to read, so they can find books and things that are going to help them learn and move further in their Christian walk. But at the same time, it's good to hear people discuss and to be stretched and to converse about things that you might not have even known to look for. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we thought Christ the Center was, as an opportunity for people in seminary and theologically educated folks, people that would like to go to seminary, but also, like you said, people that have graduated beyond just the doctrines of grace and perhaps have listened to a whole lot of R.C. Sproul courses, but, you know, wants to go a little further into, I don't know, the doctrine of perichoresis. Like, R.C. Sproul is not going to produce a DVD series on perichoresis. It would be ridiculous.
It's just not profitable.
Well, no. Well, it's just, you can't do that in a Sunday school. It's not helpful to everyone. But most churches might not even have someone that wants to look into that stuff, but if there are guys out there, and you know, a handful of them, a few thousand of them around the world, we can gather them together and provide those resources, mm-hmm. And rely on some donations to do it. But we at the same time are not beholden to a whole host of other factors yet that would drive our decision-making process into a space that is not going to serve scholarly-minded folks or people that are a little more theologically astute just because of what they've been reading or what they do in life.
Mm-hmm.
So I see us kind of primarily serving the space between Ligonier, you know, but all the way up to the postdoc. So we have a lot of professors that listens to our program, and we like that. But that's what Christ the Center does. I mean, down the road, I would like to be able to serve, and we'd like to reach everyone. But we right now don't have the infrastructure, the finances to do that, to do resources for junior high kids, for instance, or to do Sunday school curriculum. We'd like to get into that. But we're right now, you know, if we look at just what Christ the Center does, we're providing an outlet for theologically minded folks, theologically educated folks, whether autodidacts or whether they've gone to seminary or that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's it. It's probably a good point to bring up the other shows as well that are under Reform Forum. I'll mention I've had so many starts and stops with Philosophy for Theologians. I'll just tell you all, it's very, very difficult for me personally to try to get people who are philosophically minded and also theologically minded and solid. Just the pool is very, very small when you think about just theologically competent people who are into philosophy.
Well, and confessional folks, that's what's even more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's part of it. And these are going to come across as excuses, but they're real reasons why it's just been a challenge, again, for me to try to get something up and running. That's one reason. Another reason is just because I'm just not in the philosophy world right now, just with my studies. And so it takes lots and lots of work to try to get up to speed on what are the new books out, what are the topics that are being talked about, or even just refresh my memory on just basic, you know, philosophical concepts. So that's why you see so few Philosophy for Theologians. It's not for lack of effort. We're continually trying to find people who would be good, solid theologically, again, and philosophically at the same time. So that's kind of State of the Union on Philosophy for Theologians. We're still working for it, or with it, and want to do more. So covet your feedback on that as well. But in terms of the other things like Reform Media Review, can you talk a little bit about those things?
Yeah, Reform Media Review started as a program that would allow us to talk about books that had come out recently without being 2 months late. We got overzealous at one point early on, and we had 7 episodes of Christ the Center in the can. And what that meant was that when Jeff Waddington would come on to do his 15-minute discussion of new books, that it was a little out of date, in terms of a podcast and trying to be cutting edge and you know, offering the news that this just came out. It sounded ridiculous to say this just came out. And, you know, even for the people that downloaded the podcast the day it was released, it's 2 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did is we started up a different program called Reformed Media Review, and we tried to offload some of the book conversation. We haven't done that exclusively. Like a lot of Christ the Center episodes still have book news, and we try to keep it to a minimum, but that's what Reform Media Review was. And we continue to produce it, but we've of recent months, the kind of this last year, we've tried to cut it down to anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just provide the listener enough information to know, one, about the book, to know what it's about, the basic argument of the book, and maybe a few criticisms if the reviewer has any. And then finally, just basically at the end of the day, to the listener to know whether or not they should spend their time on it, either mm-hmm. get it from the library or buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do, not only with books, but perhaps also with movies music, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to expand into that where it's helpful. We don't just want to, you know, turn into a duplicate or a parrot of Relevant Magazine or something like that. But at the same time, we want to be Reformed folks that think critically about the kinds of things that we consume, and to provide an outlet that's short and accessible, you know, 10 minutes, or someone can listen to on their commute or, you know, running, jogging in the morning, they can hear about a new book and know whether or not they need to take a look at it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was kind of inspired. There's going to be an episode coming out with Brett McCracken on Gray Matters. And he just thinks very well in a number of areas regarding just culture and media, especially in movies, even food, music, and just all those things that people consume out there. And I'm a big consumer of movies and music and those kinds of things. And so it's an interest of mine that's there behind the scenes. And I would love to have just conversations about, what's coming out album wise, movie wise, yeah. those kinds of things. I just saw a movie, Beast of the Southern Wild. I don't know if you caught that. It's just,
yeah, it's in my queue. Oh, I saw a few minutes of it.
It's so interesting. I really liked it a lot. But just conversations about those kinds of things, I think would be really profitable. So we'll probably try to think of ways to do that. Just
or
really
even classic
snippet.
Literature. I mean, yeah. You know, if we could be a forum, you know, and that's in our name, we want to be a place to discuss. And basically think about a pub, like in the best of senses. Mm-hmm. This is a common public place where you can go and talk, kind of like the Areopagus. You go and hear something new every day. So what do you do with your friends? Well, you get together, you tell them about what's going on. You tell them, hey, I just read this. You know, we'd like to do that, to be a kind of a public square, to provide an avenue for conversation and critical thinking about all sorts of things. But to know that the people that are coming and, you know, we're always doing it with the perspective of someone who's confessional. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that the content we talk about is confessional per se, but it means that we're confessional folks, or at least there are confessional folks talking about these things. So I just read Chesterton's The Man Who Is Thursday, The Man Who Is Called Thursday.
Cool.
And I might be The Man Who Is Thursday now. I can't remember. It's Friday. What do I care? but, you know, excellent book, and it has a lot of things in it that I think Reformed people would be interested in. It's not a Reformed book. It's written by a Roman Catholic.
Huh.
But still something I think we could talk about, and we could, you know, use our resources, and especially our web space and our technology and our amazing group of listeners, to provide a place for people to talk about stuff like that and to hear about things that are of concern to Reform people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, in mentioning all of these different efforts and shows, it's probably a good opportunity for you to let listeners know, what are the logistics that make all of this possible? I mean, what goes on behind the scenes? What are the needs? What are some of the, a couple of the people who are helping behind the scenes? What are they doing and why are they doing it? That I think, I mean, you mentioned pretty much every week, you know, we need support, but that can kind of sound abstract after a while. So let's fill in some of the gaps and talk about what logistically goes into, you know, each show week to week.
Yeah, I'll be really, real forthright and honest. You know, we do need help, but nobody's getting paid here. I mean, not that we're all about money, but we all do this on the side. We're all volunteers. We have, and now we've done it for 3 months now, contracted a fine young man, a student at Wheaton College, who's going to be going to Westminster next year, named Joel Carini. And he is fantastic, and we're paying him peanuts. But we use some of our donation money to help him and support him so that he can publish the things on the website. So he writes the titles, the descriptions. He schedules the episodes in terms of, you know, when they're going to be posted, and we use WordPress for that. So he manages a lot of that stuff. He corrects my spelling and grammar mistakes and all that kind of sort of thing. But in terms of the regular workflow and how an episode happens, we have a whole bunch of different programs, Christ the Center, Reformed Media Review, Proclaiming Christ, Philosophy for Theologians, East of Eden. So each of them kind of have their own little workflow, but Christ the Center is the one that comes out every Friday. By God's grace, we haven't missed one we began in January 2008. So we've done 302 episodes now in a row. Not all of those have been public yet, but we've been able to record all those and not miss a week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe with the help of some others, but I set up a schedule. We find a guest and a topic. We book it. We put it on the calendar. and we free our day up to take an hour to talk to a person or to talk amongst ourselves about a particular topic. And then we record it while it's happening. I record it, unless it's another program. Jared handles other things, and the Proclaiming Christ guys, Adam York handles that sort of thing. But for Christ the Center, I record it, and then I take an hour to edit it afterwards and do all the audio compression, normalization. You know, I won't bore people with the technical details, but I handle all that. And then I use a few scripts that upload it, you know, tag it, put it where it needs to go. And then Joel gets notified that there's a new episode, and he makes sure to write the post and publish it before it needs to be out the next Friday morning. So that's how that happens. But it's a volunteer effort, and the donations go toward supporting the website, you know, paying our bandwidth bills, our hosting bills, equipment. We've been very blessed to have a budget to purchase good microphones, you know, telephone gear for when we call guests on the phone, a really great mixer, you know, some computers. So we're not lacking in the equipment department. But we are strapped in terms of time because we don't have employees. And, you know, I'm in full-time pastoral ministry now. At seminary, you're a lot more flexible, especially with your schedule, or other than classes, you can kind of move things around and handle these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But with a two-year-old and another child on the way, and with full-time pastoral ministry and trying to finish a dissertation, I'd say I'm a little busy.
Yeah, we just interviewed Kevin DeYoung about that. That was a helpful.
Yeah, his book, Crazy Busy.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting, but I'd love to get to the place down the road where we could provide more resources, where we could create more resources that would help the local church, you know, Sunday school curriculum, that type of thing. But to do that, we really need, at this point, kind of a business manager. It would be ideal if we could support a business manager. I think that would really push us into the next era of Reform Forum, because we would have somebody that could handle the donations and, you know, keep track of them, write all the thank you notes, put all that stuff into the system so we have a record of it and can handle the taxes at the end of the year. I handled all that right now, which is, it's not terrible, but it's tough. Mm-hmm. If we had somebody that could set up the interview schedules, that could even help with the prep, maybe read and scan some books, because that takes me, yeah. I don't know how long it takes you. It takes me a couple hours every episode to kind of scan the books and come up with some questions, unless it's a topic I'm really familiar with.
Yeah.
You know, that's something that an administrator could help with. A theologically minded administrator can handle that sort of thing. Just basically someone to stay on top of everything, because, you know, an overseer. And then that person might also help us to have a better conference presence and, you know, maybe do some fundraising and appeals and that sort of thing. So right now we don't have anybody to do that sort of thing. So most of the time it doesn't get done.
Mm-hmm. Like, but a producer. I mean, other podcasts have someone who just, I mean, you said oversee and make sure things look good and that there's, I mean, yeah, no spelling mistakes and those kinds of things. But
I mean, ideally we'd have a tech guy that could handle the server administration and, you know, manage WordPress and, you know, when something breaks and, you know, somebody that could go in and fix it. And then we'd also have a business manager and perhaps maybe even a designer / audio guy. Or some combination. If we had three folks doing all that stuff, would be amazing, but we got to start with baby steps. I think having some sort of jack of all trades, but somebody most focused on logistics and business management would be ideal. If we could come up with the funds to hire somebody to do that, I think it would just be, I mean, I don't even know what we could do. If we're doing all this with volunteer efforts right now, I think, man, we've got so many ideas. We just can't put them into practice, either because of lack of resources, but mostly lack of time. So that's the big need. It really is. It's hard to communicate that sometimes. And I'm still, as president of a nonprofit, trying to get used to asking and being genuine, you know, rather than being sheepish. But to be bold and ask for help, it's tough. It's uncomfortable to me. And so, you know, we try to do that in the podcast, but even then it does sound abstract sometimes. And people don't know. Sometimes you get the idea that we're some big organization. I don't think a lot of people think that, but some people might get that sense, but we're pretty tiny. And, you know, we probably in the bank right now, we only have enough funds maybe to pay somebody for like a month and a half if they were full time. So that's not going to work. And then we couldn't pay our bills after that. So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot going on. Well, we talked a little bit about the past and present, some needs. Let's bring people up to speed on where we'd like to go, some plans that are in the works. You know, maybe even starting out with, you have been more intentional on Reform Forum's just Twitter account. What the purpose is for that, what you'd like to see other people get from the Twitter account. So maybe we can start there and then work our way into just more broad ideas.
Yeah, I think Twitter obviously has kind of revolutionized communication for good or for ill. It is its own thing, and I think understanding it is difficult as an organization. It's one thing to tweet as an individual, but to tweet as an organization, we kind of have to find out how we want to use it. Now, to go back to that theme of being a reformed forum, a place where we can discuss ideas, I think that helps focus our intention and our future plans with Twitter. I would like our Twitter feed to be a place that, you know, every few hours at least would communicate something of interest to the followers, to Reform folks. And so pointing to resources that aren't on our own network. I think if there's a blog post or a podcast or something of record that really is important to the conversation, I think it'd be good to point to those kinds of things. And we're trying to do that. And I have a guy that I've gotten to know, a friend, he's actually in the hangout right now. Richard is helping out with some scripts in the back end, donating his time and expertise to help us maybe uncover some things that are happening without somebody having to watch our Twitter feed 24/7.
Oh, great. Yeah.
So we're trying to do some artificial intelligence and some other things, you know, nothing earth shattering, but we're running some scripts and some algorithms that help us uncover things that people are pointing out, and basically trying to harness the power of, I'm going to sound like such a schmuck, but the power of the crowd and the wisdom of the crowd. We have 7,000 followers now on our Twitter account, which isn't crazy, but you think about it, 7,000 people interested in Reform stuff, they post things, and we try to follow some good accounts and some key accounts. I want to expand that, but people post links, and you know, if we want to uncover those things and share them with others. So that's one thing we want to be more intentional about, our social media and using it as a tool that helps people and actually, I don't know, furthers the conversation in a helpful way, and do it in a way that isn't just self-promotional. It's so easy just to tweet your own stuff and leave it at that. And then your Twitter account becomes kind of a replacement for an RSS feed. Well, we want to tweet our own stuff in the sense that we want people to know that we have something new. But we also think we could be a better servant to our followers and to the church more broadly by being kind of a curator of good material and sharing that with people.
Yeah. And it's always trying to find the balance, right, between linking to something that has some good insight to it and also maybe not. Or with the understanding that we're not fully endorsing every single thing that we link to. And that's always going to, so we're always going to have people comment or reply on a certain link that may, I don't know, not push the envelope, but may not have everything that we agree with. But, you know, for certain articles that end up on
a handful of those.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you qualify it well. But, you know, if something pops up on Christianity Today, chances are I'm not going to, you know, buy wholesale into every single thing that they're writing about. But it's an interesting piece that I think as Reformed believers, you know, we should be aware of what other believers are doing, if not just wholly subscribing to it. So,
yeah, and we want to be discerning and communicate that to our followers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they do respect us in some regard that they're expecting good material to come from us. So whether we link to it, they expect it to be quality. But we want to balance that with being a good curator and to link to some things that we might disagree with just for the sake that you probably need to read them or it's an important thing. Yeah. But inevitably, you know, whenever we do an episode that touches on those things or whenever we tweet a link that you know, might have some issues in its own right, but still it's worth reading. We always, you know, inevitably you get a couple people saying, you know, I thought this was Reform Forum. Why are you linking to a Reform, right. a Baptist? Baptists aren't Reformed, or, yeah. you know,
I have no patience for that.
Where it's, yeah, you get that sort of thing, but it kind of goes with the territory. And I think people are, generally speaking, our followers are intelligent folks. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to serve them and offer them links, but to do so in a way that doesn't seem like a blanket endorsement. I mean, I think most people realize that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and we're going to get into a couple ideas in a second, but do you want to talk about what's any website ideas that are coming up?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to do a redesign and to maybe improve the look of the web. I built the website as it is now. I think it looks fine. I think after a few years, they'll know it needs a little bit of a refresh. We'd like to add some new features. I think in line with using Twitter more intelligently, we'd like to provide a list of top links on the front page, maybe, you know, what's going on now kind of thing, and have that update automatically. We'd like to have some editors behind the scene, you know, people keeping an eye on it to make sure that it's quality stuff that goes up there. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe something like Google News, or if the tech folk out there are listening, something like techmeme.com is a helpful way to kind of organize and categorize what's going on. I think if we had a reformed version of that, would be kind of cool. So those are some changes, some things we want to improve, and also be able to feature things that are in our archive and organize the website in a way that's a little more user-friendly. We've found over the years that people generally don't go back in the archives. So we get questions and comments through email of people asking, have you done a show on this or that? And maybe we did, you know, in episode 150, but mm-hmm. that was 3 years ago. So we want to be able to expose those episodes, but also provide maybe listener guides and down the road have kind of a learning path, you know, where maybe we could chain a few episodes together and somebody says, well, I want to hear about a Reformed view of baptism. You know, it'd be nice if we had a path, a whole list of things that we've talked about, but maybe even a sequence, a recommended sequence for listening so that people can, you know, start with the basics and then move on to some more advanced topics like redemptive historical views of Romans 4 or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But if you started there with a critique of Paul King Jewett, it might not be that helpful if you haven't even learned about the basics of covenantal identity.
Right.
So that's something that we need to do a much better job at. But again, it's something that we need help with. If we had those kinds of folks who, you know, had a view of the whole, but also an understanding of what we've done and how to communicate that to people that are new to us and new to Reformed theology, I think we could do a great thing. I think I want to give props. Now I really sound funny, but I want to give a credit where credit is due to Desiring God. They've done a great job with their taxonomy and categorizing their materials. We'd like to do something like that and be able to serve our listeners so that they could consume our resources in an order that would be most helpful and beneficial to them.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just from my own personal example, I dig into you have to know what's in the archives, number one. And so that's part of what we're
trying
to do.
That's the problem with search, right?
Yeah.
It only gets the things back that you ask for.
Right.
And if you don't know to even ask for it, how are you going to find it?
Yeah, exactly. So I think with the Twitter account that you mentioned and some other efforts, we're going to try to get more of that out there. But I go back to like Dennison on Culture. I thought he just did a superb job in that series that you did on Culture. Dennison is just great on that. And then another one that I do that I go back to constantly and recommend for others is Tipton on Sanctification. That's just an episode that I thought so well captured. What do we believe about sanctification? Here it is, the best summary of it. So there's a lot of gold out there that we need to just keep putting in front of people, because we also get new listeners and new followers pretty regularly too. So,
yeah, I think in addition to the website, you know, we'd like to offer those kinds of things and provide a better introduction to what we're doing. Another way that we could do that, I think, with the website is provide shorter and serial content. I think Faith of Our Fathers, the program, is doing a good job of that, mm-hmm. where the episodes are about 25 minutes. I'd like to do something maybe even as short as 15. You start getting under 20 minutes and you start to limit yourself into being able to provide one idea and to do it well. Mm-hmm. But if we could find that sweet spot and did something in a serial way, we would be able to communicate through podcast form and also maybe through YouTube videos, some basics, and build up and instruct mm-hmm. in a way that's helpful. Crisis Center is fun for what it is, but every week might be something different. There's, mm-hmm. there's a presumption that you've been following along to some extent. But at the same time, there's not a straight line connection between Amy Bird's conversation on Housewife Theologian and Brett McCracken's on Gray Matters.
Right. Yeah, very true.
But if we were able to provide some short serial content, serialized stuff that goes in order, we might be able to do something great there. And that goes along with this notion of the Sunday school curriculum, which we'd really like to do.
Yeah, let's talk about education mm-hmm. ideas that are out there. You've had ideas that you want to take some of the content that's been circulating through Crisis Center and maybe expand that to some other formats.
Yeah. A few years ago, I got really interested in the Khan Academy. And I think a lot of people know about Khan Academy, which is a really interesting YouTube channel that's turned into a massive nonprofit organization supported by none other than Bill Gates. If you want an introduction to it, I really recommend you search for, go to Khan Academy, I think, .org, K-H-A-N, academy.org to learn more, or try to find the TED Talk where Saul Khan talks about what he's up to. There's some question as to, is this a great model for public education or even private education? But I'll table that and I'll say I think it's a really interesting and promising model for Reformed education in between Sundays. You never want to replace what's going on Lord's Day. You can't replace what's going on in the home. But you can help people and instruct them, in other ways. So maybe instead of watching the second half of a terrible football game, you watch a few videos that help you understand what the Reformed doctrine of vocation is, for instance. And so one way we could possibly do that is providing or filming and recording good material on good, important subjects that has a goal in mind or has an end point. So it's not necessarily self-contained. The lesson is in the sense that it's teaching something, a main point, but it's part of an overall progression. In other words, mm-hmm. it's part of a course, and that course is part of an overall program that seeks to move people to a greater understanding of the Bible, an mm-hmm. understanding of God and who He is, as He's revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. So if we were able to provide curricula that would be able to do this kind of thing and then distribute it in a helpful way, even maybe to track people's progress, so you could have a login where you could log in either through your mobile device or online and keep track of the videos you've watched and, maybe have some exercises to help solidify some of this knowledge in your mind. That could be something really useful. People could learn and make some real progress during mm-hmm. the week.
Yeah,
in a way that pastors just don't have the time or the resources to do that. I can't meet with all my congregants Tuesday through Saturday, for instance, and teach them about the Reformation, although I'd like to.
Yeah,
it's just not possible. But providing a resource like Khan Academy could be something really great. Ligonier's doing a little bit of this with their Connect, mm-hmm. which is pretty good.
Right, yeah. And I think just the format lends itself to serving Reformed theology so well because of properly understood Reformed theology is just so interconnected in all its different topics and subtopics. And so, there's a reason why we emphasize union with Christ so much and redemptive history. They're so intimately connected.
Oh, yeah.
And then theology proper and our Trinitarian focus. And so that there's a whole picture and then there's all of the parts that inform each other. And so I think that speaks to part of the goal of not just coming out with like a fun video on, sola fide or something like that, as mm-hmm. important as that is, but seeing it really in a confessional way as part of like an overarching picture in tapestry of Reformed theology.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think you need to understand what scholars call the theological encyclopedia,
right?
Which is all the parts, But mm-hmm. then, you know, especially as Reformed people were trying to be reformed by Scripture, all of these different disciplines are connected to one another. But the right. challenge is to communicate all that, but then it's even harder for listeners or viewers to know where to go. I remember when I was getting interested in all this stuff, you know, it's like you just... it's all thrown at you.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't know where to start. And that's why I think a reading list was really helpful for me. Westminster's reading list was a tremendous help. I don't know what I would have done without it. It gave me guidance and a path that I knew that I could take. Mm-hmm. So we want to provide that. We have a reading list, but we'd also like to provide new media, you mm-hmm. know, videos, podcasts, those sorts of things that people can consume on a commute or when they're exercising, that we're taking advantage of these downtimes and filling them up with stuff that matters, rather than with comedy podcasts, as funny as they might be.
Guilty. Yeah.
There's a time for that.
Yeah.
But also, you know, if you could learn about Calvin, why not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm with you. Do you want to mention Kickstarter or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The question then is, how do we do these things? And not having employees, you know, having one contract guy who we basically pay in Cheetos, you know, what do we do? How do we get these things done? And one thing that we have at our fingertips is Kickstarter, which is a really interesting website and organization that allows, people to create a project and, you know, get financial support up front. So it doesn't actually bill you, but I think it puts a hold on your credit card. So it, you know, what you could do is contribute to a project. And then if it funds, meaning if it meets its funding goal, then you get billed. But then also, the project leader gets the funds and then has a kitty to take and to actually do something with. So we would love to do a Sunday school curriculum. But especially one on Reformed apologetics or covenantal apologetics. So I don't want to let the cat out of the bag too much, but I also want support, and we need help not only through Kickstarter, but we need help with Kickstarter because even doing the project is a little bit too much for some of us to handle. I mean, to write the description, to you know, just to organize the fundraising video, all sorts of stuff like that. We're really just, you know, trying to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps with mm-hmm. by the grace of the Lord, if that makes any sense. But we even need help for that sort of thing. So we'd love to start a Kickstarter project and hopefully down the road be able to fund a whole, you know, maybe a 12-week Sunday school curriculum on covenant apologetics with none other than your father, if it was able to work out. He likes the idea. We would be able to raise enough money to pay him and pay a video crew to film it and edit it. And also for us to put it on DVD and Blu-ray, although I don't know any churches that have Blu-ray players, but to be able to, definitely not in the OPC.
If you do have a Blu-ray player, you could probably bankroll this whole project.
I have one at home, but you know, put this stuff out on DVD and then we would be able to sell it. Obviously we'd want to continue to produce resources that are freely available, mm-hmm. but, at the same time, we have to look at our future. And, I think something like this, a DVD series on apologetics, where let's face it, there isn't a whole lot there out on Vantillian apologetics. There's some Bonson stuff from the early 90s. Mm-hmm. But if we were able to provide something that was done very well by professionals that looked good, sounded good, and had superb content from the Vantillian, you know, who's publishing, who's talking about these things more than your dad? I mean, come on. That would be it. I think that would put us into a next leg of our work and labors for the kingdom supporting the kingdom, supporting the church by being a help resource wise. So Reform Forum, curriculum on Reformed apologetics, I think would be awesome. Then we'd sell it, for a reasonable price as something that churches or individuals could purchase. And, ideally we could take that revenue source and then do more things with it. And I guess we can get into some of that here in a minute.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and if people have specific ideas, we we really do like hearing and interacting from you guys. I mean, I just, as genuine as I can say it, it's so fun to see your comments and read some of the emails and things like that and get interaction. And so if you have any ideas on maybe ways that you can help or just suggestions, mail@reformforum.org is always a good place to at least get started on that.
Yeah, absolutely. We always love volunteers, and people can support in a whole host of ways. I know there are a lot of students and other folks that are not able to support financially.
Yeah.
Pray for us. Honestly, we really need prayer a lot. Yeah. And you can volunteer in a whole host of ways. You know, we'd love to get people connected that could take some of these administrative tasks, or other folks like Richard who are able to do some interesting scripting, and he's a programmer, so he's
That's
able
awesome.
To support us in a way that we can't hire a programmer right now, but he loves doing this, and it's something that he's familiar with, and I could sit down and try to hack something together, but that takes I can't afford it time wise mm-hmm. and or even mentally. I'm not in a position where I could really devote a whole lot of mental horsepower to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, yeah. But that's something for Richard. He can contribute, and he could contribute in kind. And we're so thankful for that. So,
yeah, very. And, nice seeing him on the video, on the hangout, but,
thanks Richard.
Yeah. And so we covered, you know, your prayers and, your unique gifts, in either in your vocation or skills, hobbies, whatever they are, you know, definitely want to hear from you. And maybe it's a good opportunity. And you know what? I should also say word of mouth is just awesome.
Oh.
It's so much fun. You know, I go to tons of conferences for my job, and I really do like them because I get a chance to interact with people who are just really all over the country and in the world in some parts. But
yeah, you get to see it a lot more than I do just by nature of your job.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, going to mm-hmm. these conferences where there's a few thousand people, and inevitably there are people who come up and just say, hey, really liked that one episode that you did on blah, blah, blah. You know, my friend emailed me on it. And so, you know, if you do have an episode that rings true for someone in a conversation where they're, you know, they have a question on whatever it is, ecclesiology or something, and there's something from the archives that you can think of, that also helps just get people introduced to the show in general. So maybe that's a good segue into let's talk about connecting with people in general and
yeah.
some of the ideas that you have and intentions of like getting out there and talking with you guys, listeners.
Well, I love what we're doing right now. This is my first experience with an on-air hangout, and I think it's pretty cool. I'd like to do more of this. We'd like to do one for our supporters and donors and some of the other folks that have volunteered in different ways. I think once in a while, I'd like to do something like this and maybe invite a special guest, you know, a theologian that people would like to talk to and provide more of a smaller kind of private venue for them to interact with and ask questions. That's one way I think that we can connect with listeners better. But in general, I'd like to do public hangouts once in a while and just get feedback and comments and, you know, questions. I think this is a tremendous opportunity. Technologically speaking, this kind of thing was unheard of 5 years ago. Well, maybe a little longer than that, but we have the opportunity now to connect in ways that were just impossible before. Another way we'd like to do this, I got some stats here. I look like David Letterman. Look at, I could throw my card.
Top 10.
Yeah, I don't have a pencil. I need to learn how to twiddle that and throw it at the camera here.
Right.
Top 10 metro areas for Reform Forum. So I got a top 10 list on a card, you know, just like Letterman here.
Yeah, we need music. If there are any musicians out there.
Now, I'll do this in reverse. I'll start with number one because it's pretty easy to guess, but these are metropolitan areas, visitors to the website. So these are not audio downloads,
okay.
but these are the visits to the website. Metro area since the beginning of 2011. First is Philly, Philadelphia. Surprise, surprise. next is LA, the LA metro area.
That is crazy to me.
Yeah. Then you ever been to LA for Westminster?
Not for Westminster. No. We are a couple of people from the admissions office are going to go to Biola cause they're having a conference, but I haven't personally been. It's on my list.
Yeah. get there. Number two.
There's a guy who does RUF at UCLA. His name escapes me right now, but I need to go out and say hey to him.
Okay. New York makes sense. DC, a little bit of a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
But
those nine marks, four. Guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe so. Yeah. These do correlate to seminaries and ministries, oddly enough. Dallas. Texas is overall the number three state. Yeah, there we go.
That's great.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Dallas, Chicago. That's where I am right now. Chicagoland. San Diego, Westminster, California. Seattle, a little bit of a surprise, but that's where Mars Hill is.
Thanks, Driscoll.
Yeah. Number nine, Atlanta. There's a PCA influence. And then number 10, Sacramento. Who would have thought Sacramento is number 10? Hmm. Why do I mention this? Well, it's a way for us to think intelligently about where to do things. I would like to, down the road, if we had a budget for this, to do some meetups in different cities around the country. So I think it'd be fun to do once in a while, maybe rent out a hotel room or, you know, like one of those Maggiano's type conference rooms where we could have some...
Yeah.
Have dinner or something or hors d'oeuvres or something like that, where we could have a couple of folks from Reform Forum, maybe a guest or a theologian, but the intent would be just to get together and to meet up. And so if we did that strategically in different cities, different places where a lot of the listeners are, and made it easy to get to something kind of off the interstate or near public transportation, I think that'd be fun. And of course, we'd like to be at more conferences that are more in line with, or at least drawing the kinds of people we'd like to meet, you know, and that's something you've done, but we'd like to have a Reform Forum booth, you know, on our own for that type of thing. I think those are some small ways that we could connect in person, and maybe even start up some little Reform groups in different areas to get together.
That's what I
try to get
say.
Together with people here in Chicagoland. I've gotten, gone out with a handful of listeners a bunch of times. Yeah. It's fun. This is a good time, and I like meeting with people and talking, and it doesn't have to be some sort of organizational promotional thing. I just like meeting new people.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I've done that a handful of times. So if people are interested in that kind of thing, you know, you can tweet us or email us, and we can try to connect.
Yeah, I had a lunch with a guy, Joe, yesterday, and he pastors an ARP church, and I was just thinking, how cool would it be in different pockets around the country to connect, not just us, of course, we love that, but different listeners in each area who are having these conversations, and it's just so much more fun. This sounds cheesy, too, but just to do it in community with other people who have similar questions and are reading some of the same books, and because oftentimes it can feel, as you know, this is why Reform Forum exists, but it can feel kind of isolating to be reading Voss all by yourself and no one to really feedback with and bounce ideas off of. So that's going to be, I think, a goal that's like in the back of our minds at least.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what percentage it would be, but I learned an awful lot of my learning at seminary happened in Jonathan Brack's on his porch.
Yeah. Oh, me
and
too.
And that's because that's where we would get together and talk.
Right.
I know that was the case for Lane Tipton when he was in seminary too. He had his core group of friends that would get together and they'd hash these things out.
Yeah.
Now you're learning the meat by reading. The lectures also flesh this stuff out. But at least for me, the way I learn, it wasn't until I was communicating with friends and really working on these ideas, asking difficult questions, you know, being critical in a good way of your friends and them being critical of you and working these things out, going back to scripture and reading it. That's where the real learning happened, or I should say that's where it was solidified and some connections happened. So it was taking all the raw data that I was reading and hearing in lectures and then putting it into concrete practice. And if we could do that, not only through the podcast, but also connecting people in person, I think we can make some really good progress. You know, in the Reformed Church could make some progress and we could really start to do some really neat things.
Totally. Totally agree. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, we've hit on a lot of the, connecting ideas. I have a note here. What about merch?
Oh,
this
yeah.
This is going to be a learning experience for me because I don't know what Kim has in mind as far as this.
Well, I got an email a couple of days ago from a guy that was asking about t-shirts. And I thought, you know, I had that thought before, but I just never pulled the trigger on it because I didn't know if anyone would be interested. Uh-huh. But actually, I have my OPC 75th anniversary mug here. So I don't know. Excellent. Maybe it'd be fun to do a couple things, Reform Forum things, Reform Forum coffee mug or shirt or something like that. So I don't see it as any big time support kind of raising thing, but it's something that'd be fun. So we're always interested in ideas like that. And so, you know, feel free to send an email or to tweet us because we like having those ideas. We like hearing about them and sometimes maybe we can do something about it. I know when we had our Klein Club, we made Kleinsteins,
right,
which were these mugs, these steins, and we put Klein Club on them, and then we covered them. They had this all printed. It turns out really nice, and it has all these hyphenated words that come out of Kingdom Prologue all over the mug. And cool. So I like that. So I have people over, you know, and we discuss Klein or biblical theology. I always drink out of that Kleinstein. And, you know, that's fun. I mean, who else is going to do that?
So no one.
We might be able to do t-shirts or something like that. That'd be fun. And then we'd also have a pile of them we could throw at people and give away, mm-hmm, at conferences. Maybe we can get one of those guns at baseball fields and blast people.
T-shirt cannon.
T-shirts at them. At a conference. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'll go over. We'll have to get insurance or something for that. But
yeah, we need insurance for that. Yeah, for sure.
We'll think it. So if there's anybody who has like design skills, you have to be in demand like crazy. I'm sure everybody asks for your expertise and ideas. But yeah, if you have any ideas.
We're always looking for help on that stuff. Always.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can do design stuff, you're a Photoshop whiz or an InDesign whiz or something like that. Yeah. Oh man, we could use you.
It's beyond me. I have no design artistic skills whatsoever. I have some kind of like evaluative skills where I can discern what maybe works and what doesn't. But as far as generating that kind of thing, that's a whole other level.
Yeah, I think I'm derivatively creative. Like I do web design and I like that, but I always need an example or something I want to move toward. Not to copy, but as inspiration. I admire those folks that are kind of, I know no one's entirely sui generis, you know, creative. Everyone's building upon an experience. But at the same time, I really admire those folks that can sit down and say, we want to design this website or I want to design this brochure or flyer and just do it without, mm-hmm, looking at something else. I mean, mm-hmm, that's quite the gift.
Yeah.
We can always use people that have skills, design skills. That's one thing that we really, really could use. But again, those folks are usually really busy and, mm-hmm, time isn't free.
Yeah, that's right. Well, unless you have anything, I've really enjoyed just getting some feedback in the chat. It's been fun. I'm from Amarillo, Texas, and I like seeing Jason there in the chat and another fellow Texan. And we have a number of listeners in the Dallas area, so it'd be, uh-huh, fun for you guys to get together. More firepower.
I just pulled some stats on Texas yesterday, and Dallas, Houston, Amarillo, mm-hmm, Austin, you know, there are a lot of Reformed folks down there. Again, it's the number three state in terms of visitors to our website. And it's a huge state, but still, I mean, that goes to show that there's a lot of Reformed people down there.
Yeah, definitely. Coming up, a couple events that are happening. The CCF conference is in, it's outside Dallas. I forget is it Frisco? but it's outside the DFW area. And PCAGA next summer is going to be in Houston. So I plan on being there. And so maybe we can coordinate some of these things while people are convening. So that's another idea to connect with you guys too.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have anything else either, but I guess I'd like to open the chat room up. Does anyone have any questions or want some follow-up or comments or anything like that? Otherwise, I guess we'll sign off. Yeah. This will go on YouTube. Yeah. Crickets. Nice.
Nice.
Someone's got the crickets on.
Oh, well, good call. Yeah. I definitely want to do more of these if it seems appealing, because I like the format of this format in particular. Maybe we can have a couple people on who, you mentioned my brother. He writes reviews for Christianity Today sometimes on albums and music. So maybe we can take like a couple albums and just talk about them, and make we can like tweet out a heads up just to say, we're going to be talking about this album. If you want to give it a listen, we'll be doing a Google Hangout on it or something. There's a lot of ideas that we could go with.
Yeah, I think that'd be excellent. And we always need the feedback. I mean, we are serving our constituents, and without them, we're just talking to ourselves. So we always want to help out. Oh, I do have one question here from Jason, is asking if there are more Proclaiming Christ episodes. I think they recorded one yesterday, so it should come out soon. They had a hiatus because one of their main guys is working on a D-min, so he had to, they tabled some recordings for most of the summer. But I was talking to another one of the guys, and they have something scheduled. So I'm hopefully looking for more of those to come out very soon. East of Eden as well, I think they have recorded a handful, and I'm just waiting on receiving those audio files so I can finalize them and send them off to Joel to put on the website. But nice. Yeah, some of those things will be starting back up. But yeah.
Do you want to give it a mention? What are some of the episodes that are coming up? Kind of a preview for the guys who are with us.
Yeah, right? For the people, you get to travel in time with us. We've already recorded some of these, but Amy Bird's episode came out today. We have Melissa Kruger and Nancy Guthrie on as panelists.
Very cool.
Which I really, really enjoyed that conversation. Next week, I think, is Brett McCracken talking about his book, Gray Matters. That was a good conversation that we had. Then we have... Oh man, David Murray, I think is the next one.
I think that's up next
on kind of a Christocentric view of the Bible.
Jesus on every page.
Jesus on every page. Great. Yeah, that was a really good book.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's
I'm not surprised it's coming from David, but yeah,
yeah.
Barbara Duguid, that's number 301 on our book Extravagant Grace. Nancy and Melissa joined me again for that. That one is rich. That was really good.
That's cool.
302 was Kevin DeYoung on his book Crazy Busy. Mm-hmm. But 300, which comes out, I think, September 27th, that was one with Timothy Brindle, who is a hip-hop artist with Lamp Mode Recordings. And that was a transitional one. It was really a good conversation, but the music's a lot different. And keep an eye out, because the intros to Christ the Center are going to be different from here on out.
Yeah,
they're very different with Timothy Brindle, but then after that we kind of go back to the jazz motif. But we start up with a Pamela York snippet rather than what we have been using for 6 years. So it's time for a change.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. Every once in a while, I mean, I told you offline, Camden, but I hear the Crisis Center intro on like an amateur movie thing or a commercial, and just go, hey,
yeah,
you know, I got an email actually, and it's from KSO, and he says, when are you going to have that Oliphant guy on again? So we'll have to see if he's going to be making an appearance back on.
Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Well, we'll leave it at that. We'll.
Yeah. Anyway,
anything else?
No, I was going to say, we might have Jason Hood on. He has
a book
out, and we're going to try to schedule that. So that may be like 303 or something like that. But anyway, I think...
Oh, Daryl Hart's scheduled too. I got some other books on my... I got a Wayne Grudem book on the poverty of nations. We get these books sometimes sent to us, and I always enjoy looking at them. So we try to schedule interviews with them, and there's so much. It's that time of year. We hope to get through as many books as we can and provide good interviews and discussions where they need to be. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, thanks, Camden. Appreciate your time and kind of explaining some things and letting people know what's headed down the road. And again, for the listeners, get in touch with us, whatever your questions are, theological, technical, what's coming ahead, maybe ways that you can help again. That's always appreciated. And thanks for joining us. We hope to definitely do a few more of these, so we'll get the word out somehow.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been fun. We hope to do it again soon and expand this, maybe provide a regular type way to do it.
Definitely.